Over valley and mountain, river and plain, through wind and storm, rides Anne of the Airline. A series of thrilling adventures are being encountered by Anne Burton as she strives to accomplish her ambition to become an air hostess. She and pilot Jack Baker have flown a stolen AerCap speed plane to a small sandy island just off the coast of Miami, being accompanied on the trip by two crooks, Vic Morgan and Joe Tolliver, who are connected with a gang of diamond smugglers headed by a mysterious dock. While Jack's co-pilot Pete Peterson and Interstate Airlines hostess Kay Thompson are learning at the company's headquarters in Springfield that a new transport ship has been stolen and that Jack Baker is suspected of the theft, they also learned that Anne Burton's Aunt Hattie has arrived at the field in a special plane, but was never seen to leave by car or taxi. But they do not know that Aunt Hattie stowed away in the baggage compartment of the stolen transport and is discovered there when the big ship is finally landed on the secluded island. The discovery was made by Jack and Anne as they looked over the ship after being told by one of the crooks, Vic Morgan, that the head of the ring, Doc, had commanded Jack to fly the transport to Africa. Anne, Jack, and Aunt Hattie are safe for the time being on the island. So let's take another look in on what is going on back in Springfield as co-pilot Pete and hostess Kay Thompson are entering the home of the missing Jack Baker. Listen.
Oh, try it again, Pete. I know Bobby must be home. Surely he wouldn't leave while Jack...
I know he wouldn't. Bobby Baker thinks the sun rises and sets in that pilot brother of his. I'll bet that kid hasn't eaten a bite or slept a wink since Jack disappeared. But it seems funny that he doesn't answer the bell. Working because I could hear it ring.
Well, try knocking. Maybe you're down in the basement or something.
All right, Kate. Here's a knock that ought to bring out the militia.
Pete, they'll hear you all over town. Just as
they were... Can't you wait a second?
Oh, there he comes, Pete.
Oh, gee, Pete. And Miss Thompson. Have you heard anything about Jack? Have they found him yet? You don't really think he stole that new transport airplane, do you? No, honest, Pete, you don't...
Now, wait a minute, Bobby. One question at a time. And don't you invite your friends in when they come to call on you?
Oh, gosh, Miss Thompson, I forgot. Excuse me, won't you? You and Pete? Well, since Jack's gone like he is, I've been so rattled, I guess I just sort of forgot my manners. Come on in. I'll take your hat, Pete.
That's okay, Bobby. We won't be here but a few minutes, so I'll just hang on to this guy, Pete. Where were you that you didn't hear the doorbell just now?
Well, I guess I must have sort of dozed off, kind of. I was on the air all night trying to see if I could pick up Jack's voice anywhere. I guess I must have got kind of sleepy.
What's this about being on the air? You haven't a radio station here, have you?
Oh, yeah. I'll show it to you in a minute after I tell you about the hospital. Or do you want to see it now?
Hospital? What do you mean, hospital, Bobby?
You want to hear about that before you look at my amateur station?
Yes, I think so, Bobby. What is this about the hospital?
Well, about 10 o'clock this morning, after I tried to listen for Jack all night, I got to thinking that it was mighty funny that he got out of that pilot sanitarium without anybody seeing him. So I decided to take a look at the room he'd been in and... Well, then you get sort of a clue, see?
That's the junior G-man influence.
Keep still, Pete, and let him tell us. Go on, Bobby.
Well, when I got inside, it seemed about the busy time of day. Everybody was running around, shoving people into operating rooms and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody paid much attention to me. So I finally got into the room, the one that Jack was in when I went in to see him. Well, there wasn't anybody in there at all, and I just closed the door and took my time looking around. Well, there wasn't any sign that anyone had ever been in there. bed all made up nice and everything. And no footprints because the floor had just been polished.
Did you look for fingerprints, Bobby?
No, I didn't, Pete. But I was going to. You see, I had a fingerprint outfit that Jack got me for Christmas last year, and I took it along. But before I got around to that, I found this hooked on the spring under the bed.
Looks like a piece of somebody's apron string to me. Probably the nurse's.
Let me see, Bobby. Yeah. Well, I see what it is. It's a part of the towel string of a doctor's coat, but it looks sort of greasy. And how on earth did it get on the underside of the bed?
Yeah, that's what got me, Miss Thompson. But I thought maybe I'd find out who the string belonged to and maybe ask him.
Any luck?
Well, on account of nobody seemed to want to tell me anything when I called up about Jack last night, except that he was gone. I thought maybe I'd better find out who'd searched the room myself and what he was looking for.
Hey, I got it.
Hmm?
Whoever that was in that room was looking for the chloroform bottle that Ann took along with her.
Mm, that sounds all right. Did you find your man, Bobby?
I don't know. But here's the way it was. I thought on account of the string was dirty and greasy that, well, it probably would be down in the laundry room, wherever that was. So I went on down the steps into the basement because that's where I thought they'd keep the soiled uniforms. Well, just as I got to the bottom of the steps, I heard somebody coming. And well, I didn't have any good reason for being there, so I just stepped into a door that was right there. There was another pair of steps leading down, and I thought maybe whoever it was might open the door and find me standing there, so I went on down to the bottom.
Well, that's funny. I served 4 years in nursing training at the Tyler Sanitarium, but I never knew there was a sub-basement.
I think we're going to find out a lot of things about that place we never knew before. Go ahead, Bobby.
Yeah. Well, there at the bottom of that last bunch of stairs was another door, a real thick one, but it was open just a little bit, and I could see in. The room was almost as bright as daylight, and it was full of all kinds of funny machinery, like little bitty grinding wheels, only they had big motors on them.
Hmm.
And all sorts of things I'd never seen before. But the funniest thing was that over in one corner was a whole radio transmitter and the best-looking panel you ever saw.
Well, what do you know about that? I never knew that the Tyler Sanitarium had a radio station.
It's a new one on me, too. I've never heard of it.
Yeah, and I'll bet it's a new one on the government, too, because I thought I had the only amateur station around here. And I know it couldn't be a commercial set.
Was there anyone in there, Bobby?
Yeah, there was a couple of fellas. One of them was sitting down at some sort of a machinery back to the door, and the other fellow was standing up beside him. He had his back to me, too. But the fellow standing up had on one of those doctor's coats, a tie in the back, but it was a clean one.
And you couldn't tell who either one of them was, Bobby?
Oh, gee, no, Miss Thompson. Both of them had their backs toward me. But the fellow sitting down, he seemed to be sort of an old man. He had gray hair, you know, and, well, he was saying something to the other fellow.
What did he say?
He talked like he was some kind of a foreigner. I couldn't tell what kind, though. But he said something about this shipment is not as good as we have been getting. And he called the other fellow a dope.
Doc. You know Dr. Tyler, don't you, Bobby?
Oh, sure. I've seen him around town a lot.
Could the other man have been Dr. Tyler?
Yeah, it could have been all right. But it could have been anybody else, too, because I didn't get a chance to see his face. He was just about to turn around when I got scared. I ran up the steps clear to the first floor. Just then, there was a lot of people coming out in a bunch, so I got in the middle of them, and I got out of there. But there's something fishy about that radio station. Oh, gee, I almost forgot. Do you want to look at my station now?
Bobby, I think we'll have to look at it some other time. I'm beginning to put a few things together, and it looks like they add up.
You mean something about Jack, maybe?
Well, it looks like Jack is right in the middle of the whole thing somewhere. Hey,
mm-hmm.
You remember how that one guy on the flight yesterday evening seemed to be sorting out the wing lights? And I thought that they were flashing a code of some kind?
Why, of course, Pete. But what on earth could that have to do with...
Okay. And then right on top of that, for no reason at all, the field lights go out. And 30 minutes later, the ground crew finds the wires cut not 10 feet from where that car was parked that hit Jack.
Yes, but I still don't see how this all hooks up with what Bobby saw.
See, Pete, I think I got it. You mean somebody saw the wing lights and read whatever they said, and then they relayed it to the parked car with a shortwave radio?
Right the first time, Bobby. I think that station in the Tyler Sanitarium is the answer to all this close figuring these fellas have been doing. And it's all hooked up with the theft of those two ships. Think you could find your way back to that room, Bobby?
I'll say I could, Pete.
I think we're going visiting. Are you game, Kay?
Right with you, Mr. Peterson. Get your cap, Bobby.
Gosh, Miss Thompson, I already got it. Let's go.
By the information desk, and nobody recognized you, Ken. Where are those basement steps?
Right over here, through this door.
Yeah, this is the way I went. Down these steps.
If anyone happens to come along, just tell them we're visitors and got lost.
They hardly ever come down here at night. And this might be one of the men.
If it's one of them, we are lost. Is that the door, Bobby?
Yeah, right through there. And watch out, because the steps start right on the other side.
Phew. Darker than a stack of burnt sand. Watch your step, Kate.
Mm-hmm.
You too, Bobby. Right straight down.
Yeah. And they're pretty steep.
The door is right ahead.
You got it. What's that sound? Listen.
It sounds like a receiving set coming on. Maybe it's the one on there.
Just a second. Wish I could strike a match. I can't tell if there's anyone in there or not.
I've got it. There. I just felt a big space between the bottom of the door and the floor. If there was any light in there, we'd see it under the door. It's all dark.
There'd hardly be anyone in there sitting around in the dark. Both of you get behind me, so if there is anyone, we can run for it. I'll try this door and see if it's open. There doesn't seem to be anyone.
What's that little red light over there?
That's where the radio stuff is. That must be the receiver turned on. It's got a pilot light, and I guess they leave it on all the time.
But what good is it if there's no one here to hear it?
Probably got remote control receivers someplace else in the building. Oh. I wonder if I can chance turning on the light.
DM calling DS at Springfield. DM calling DS at Springfield.
That voice. I've heard it before. Where's it coming from?
From that radio. But where it is, I don't know. Listen.
DM calling DS at Springfield. It is urgent that you get in touch with me at once, DS. Storm warnings along Florida coast. Impossible to carry out instructions. 100-mile-an-hour hurricane expected to strike here by morning. Both planes are without gas, and we have no boat to reach mainland. Urgent that you call me back at once. Hurricane may wipe out island. DM calling CS at Springfield.
Pete, that was that cook that was on our ship yesterday. Wherever he is, that's where Ann and Jack are. Isn't there something we can do?
Pete, close the door. I hear someone walking inside that room.
A tropical hurricane about to strike the small island that is the unbarred prison of Ann Burton, Jack Baker, and Aunt Hattie. Will the call for help sent out by the gangster Vic Morgan bring help to the five who are apparently marooned there? All we can do is hope for the best until we once more listen to the thrilling adventures of Ann of the Airlines.